I'll make you a promise this week, guys. If you show up, I'll show up too. Amen. We'll all be here together. And the night that God's going to do a great work will be the night you miss. So don't miss a night. Amen. Somebody asked, what was the most important part of a revival meeting? Was it reading the Bible or was it prayer? And the other guy replied, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? And I think they're both very, very important for us to have revival. And so we put it on the calendar and we ask God to bring it. And so we're here. My better half is Sharla. I have a wife at home with a little girl. She's 5. Her name is Zinley. And my wife oversees 3 women's homes and oversees the child care at our freeway. And so I never want to steal her ministry from her so she can go with me to do this. And I love having her with me, and I try when Zinley doesn't have school, or we're you know, we look on the counter, we're like, okay, Charlotte, you know, come on. But she loves doing that, and she always says yes so I can travel and do what God's called me to do. And so it's a great partnership. I love Pam and Paul, and they're great people. You have a really, really good pastor. You should be proud of your pastor. Give him a round of applause. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. Amen. I still tell people Pastor Paul is my pastor. Pastor Eddie Bumpers is a wonderful man. He's my pastor too, but Paul has really been there for me in many, many, many hard times and walked me through a lot, and I'm very grateful for him. And so honored to preach with you, be here with you, and meet with you this morning. I just pray that you'll take your church mask off for these 4 days and just be real with God, and whatever God says, whatever God asks you to do, you'll do it. And so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor this morning and make a commitment to God in front of everybody here by raising your hand. Will you do whatever God tells you to do by the end of the service? Would you commit to that? Whatever God tells you to do, you'll do it. Whatever he says. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, God. And help us not worry about the clock. Help us not worry about what's next. Help us not be concerned with the distractions right now, Lord. You know, revival is for saved people. We believe it's 911 Jesus. It's spiritual resuscitation from you to us. And we also believe that resurrection happens at revival for lost people. People come and they're hurting, they're broken, and they're here by your sovereign hand and your plan to trust in you and be saved. We pray for both. And I ask God that you'd use me to preach like a dying man to a dying people. That your word would come out bold and brave and unafraid. We give you the glory. There's many that raised their hands and they said, we will do whatever God tells us to do through this message. Father, you know their lives. You know their intimate details. You're sovereign. Speak to them, would you please? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of when God makes you desperate. When God makes you desperate. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, then we'll read verse 17 and 18. I like to stand to honor God's word, if that's okay with you guys this morning, if you're willing and you're able. The Bible says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph. He's an Ephraimite. He had 2 wives, problem number 1. The name of one wife was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So this man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. Also the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion. For he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So this went on year by year. She went up to the house of the Lord, and that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, Hannah, said, "Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah, after they had finished eating and drinking, and Shiloh, now Eli, Hannah arose after they finished eating and drinking. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat at the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, "Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, remember me and do not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a male child, and I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant your petition you've asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way, ate, and her face was no longer sad. Thank you. You can have a seat. I wonder if there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice this morning who's been desperate. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever been in a situation and you can say, this is a desperate situation? You know, in desperate situations, things are not as normal, are they? You're different than you used to be. It's not status quo anymore. You're not yourself. Something happens when you're desperate. And did you know this morning, church, it's not always a bad thing? We meet a desperate woman named Hannah. The word Hannah, it means grace. Hannah was desperate for something no one could help her with. She couldn't find peace. She couldn't find joy. She couldn't find purpose. She was broken. Hannah was a woman with a barren womb. In Hannah's culture, they seen a child as a 401k. In Hannah's culture, if you didn't have a child, no one was there to take care of you when you got older. No one was there to help you get ends meet. No one could carry on the family name. It was a shame to be a barren woman. J.D. Greer puts it this way, I quote, "Barrenness is an effective metaphor for hopelessness. There's no future for Hannah. There's no human power to invent her future. Not many people think about children this way today. We put value on the kind of job you have or where you go to school or how you look. But to think of Hannah's perspective in a culture that puts all a significance, a woman's significance and security in her children, she can't have children. Practically speaking, she has no significance, no life, no hope. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why would God close Hannah's womb? Why would God allow her to go through persecution from what the Bible calls her rival wife? The Bible teaches that if a man could not have children with a woman, he would marry a woman to have children with for him. And so that was the culture. That's what they did back then. And so that's what happens. I just want to give you the thought this morning to the husbands and the wives in the room. Can you imagine, sir, having a conversation with your wife? "Sorry, babe, you're not cutting it. I'm going to have to marry another woman to give me children." Talk about some intense fellowship, amen? I mean, that's exactly what happened. Sometimes the husbands would divorce the wife because she couldn't have a children. Look what it says in verse 6 of 1 Samuel. "Her rival used to provoke her grievously," the ESV says, "to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb." Now look at this. "Year by year, this went on as often as she went to the house of the Lord. She provoked her. Therefore, Hannah wept and could not eat." I believe God wanted Hannah to be desperate. See, Hannah stopped eating. Food didn't please her anymore. Hannah stopped associating with everyone else. She's sitting by herself at the fellowship potluck. Hannah couldn't be satisfied by her husband anymore. And this wasn't a month thing. This wasn't a 2 month thing. This was year by year, year by year, year by year it went on. Year by year, Hannah said a prayer here. Year by year, Hannah did this, Hannah did that. Year by year, she tried these different things. This isn't the first time Hannah prayed for a son, church. This was years of heartache. Do you think this is the first time Hannah was frustrated over having a barren womb? Absolutely different. Absolutely not. But this time it was different. This time when she prayed, she was desperate. This wasn't just your average service. This wasn't just your average prayer meeting. Something was different this time. God had Hannah in a place where she was finally ready for him to move in her life. Let me ask you a question, church member. I'm not trying to pick on you this morning. Pastor, Bible teacher, deacon, when's the last time you were desperate for God? Oh, when's the last time the scripture brought tears to your eyes? When's the last time God was number one? I want to be desperate for the Lord. That's when revival happens. How do I know if I'm desperate? How do I know if a church is desperate? I'm going to show you. Look. Look at this. Watch what happens to Hannah. Apply this to your life this morning. Desperation drove Hannah to the Lord. Straight to God. I wonder how long this went on. I wonder how long she suffered. There's a hint for us. Verse 4, at least 4 years. At least 4 years. You say, preacher, how do you know it was 4 years? Well, she had sons, plural, daughters, plural. It says Peninnah had sons, more than one son, and daughters, more than one daughter. And so I'm not a scientist or a mathematician, but I know how long it takes to have a baby. 4 years. Four children, at least 4 years. Can you imagine 4 years of this? Look what it says in verse 7. Year by year she was provoked. The word provoked is irritated by the rival wife. It wasn't you don't have to be a detective to figure out who Peninnah was. She was the rival. Year by year she watched this other woman have children by the man she loved, her childhood sweetheart. Can you imagine your husband excited because he just had another boy? Can you imagine when they're about to give birth and he's sitting there and he's waiting and the helper who helped her have the baby comes out and says, "It's a boy." Can you imagine another birthday celebration? And there you are, Hannah. And you can't have children. Suffering. Heartbroken. Nothing could comfort her. He tried to comfort her with mashed potatoes and gravy because guys are stupid. We do dumb things. He gave a double portion to her. He thought, well, if you just have a little more of this barbecue ribs, you'd be okay. Am I not better than 10 husbands? Guys, come on now. That's the kind of stuff we do. He tried to comfort her with material things, and he tried to encourage her, but she was broken. She was empty. She was desperate. But 1 year, things changed for Hannah. Hannah didn't want food. She didn't need more stuff from her husband. She stopped listening to the snide remarks. While everyone was eating and everyone was drinking, look what it says happens in verse 9. She arose. She gets up. I believe this is the moment where Hannah's life changed forever. She finally came to the place where God was number one. She gets up off her seat and she arises. She gets up. The moment she got up from the table, I believe life was about to change for Hannah. Is there one listening to the sound of my voice that can identify with this woman this morning? Is there one listening to the sound of my voice and your desperation has brought you to this place? Your desperation is driving you to God. This is the moment for you this morning. Where you're desperate. Maybe it's this is the day you get up. Maybe this is the day you arise. Maybe this is the day you take off that church mask and you come to the altar and you say, "Here I am, Lord. I made a commitment at the beginning of the service. I will do what you told me to do. I'm seeking God Almighty because this morning I'm desperate." Reminding myself of Luke 15. The prodigal son, the word prodigal in Luke 15, it means wasteful. He's the wasted son, and he got wasted, you know. He leaves home, and he's what I call king baby. He's that enabled son that feels like he's entitled to everything that's not really his. Am I talking to somebody this morning? And he leaves home, and he goes off into the far country, and he joins himself to the citizens of the far country. And the father who represents God doesn't go after him. No, he waits on the porch. He waits for his son to be done. He waits for his son to hit rock bottom. And the prodigal son, he runs off and he joins himself to his friends. And then he spends all his money. And when his money's gone, his friends are gone, because that's what happens. And so now this prodigal wasted son is in a wasted situation in a pig pen. And he's hungry. And he's alone. And he's desperate. And he says these words. I'm going to read this to you now. Look what happens to him in Luke 15, 17. But when he came to himself, he came to himself. It took the pig pen. It took the desperation. It took being alone and cold and hungry, friendless, parents gone. He came to himself and he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough bread to eat? And I perish with hunger. I will arise. I will go to my father. That's what happened to Hannah. She came to herself. Her desperation brought her there. Desperation is not always a bad thing. Oh, what could God do with a desperate church? What could God do with a desperate person this morning? I'm so glad nothing in this world could satisfy me. I'm so glad the medicine and all the things that they said was wrong with me didn't work. I'm so glad that the probation officer couldn't help me. I'm so glad it took me going to a prison cell in 2008, broke, alone, busted, and disgusted. Everything I tried didn't work. The friends didn't work. The drugs didn't work. The street life didn't work. The girls and the relationships didn't work. Everybody I knew was dead or doing life in prison. And it was in that prison cell where I found that Bible. And I realized that what God could do with a man like me, that not only was I the type of person who was a poster child for Christianity according to the gospel, that God called and handpicked people just like me. And I surrendered my life to the God of the Bible in an old dirty prison cell. And I said, use me like the drugs used me and give me a purpose. I'll serve you all the days of my life. And I was desperate and my life has never been the same again. Church, when's the last time you were desperate for God? When's the last time you were on your face honest before the Lord? Because desperation drives you to God. What else did desperation do for Hannah? Don't you miss this morning. She was a country girl. Some of y'all should appreciate that. It made her a theologian. Hannah became a theologian in her desperation. Look what it says in verse 9. So Hannah arose after they'd finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting by the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Eli, the scholars say, is in. He's got him a little perch there. He's got a little baby throne. And he's sitting by the temporary place where they would worship the Lord in Shiloh there. And he's sitting by the doorpost. And what's Hannah do? Hannah doesn't go up to Eli, guys. Hannah doesn't even speak to him. Hannah walks right past the priest. She doesn't even say nothing to him. She doesn't even give Eli her prayer request because she knew Eli couldn't help her. She didn't come to meet with Eli. She came to meet with God Almighty. Listen, Paul can't help you. I can't help you. There's nothing we can do in our own strength to change your life. But I'm telling you now, if you come to meet with the Lord God Almighty, he can do a work you've never seen done in your life. Oh, friend. She says in verse 10, it says she was distressed and she prayed to the Lord. Verse 11 and 13, she continued praying before the Lord. She came to seek God. Look what it says in verse 12 and 13. Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was speaking in her heart, but only her lips moved. She didn't care if Eli heard her pray. She didn't come to pray to Eli. Oh, she came to seek the Lord. She wept before the Lord. She sought the Lord. John Wesley said, when you cry in the right spirit, it's like liquid prayer. He heard those tears, didn't he? This country girl learned a lot about prayer from her suffering, from her pain. And because of her broken heart, she learned prayer through the bed of suffering. She didn't learn this from college. She didn't take a class on it. Her pain made her a better Bible theologian than the high priest. She was closer to God than Eli and both his sons. And as a matter of fact, do your homework and go through the Old Testament, you find me one woman more godly than Hannah. You find one woman in the Bible in the Old Testament that's seen year by year going to the house of the Lord. You show me somebody in the Old Testament like Hannah that fulfilled and made a vow and fulfilled it to the Lord. Show me somebody that prays more in the Old Testament than chapter 2 when Hannah uses God's covenant name over 18 times. How'd she get there? Desperation. God had to break her. He made her a powerhouse because she suffered. You say, my theologian won't. My theology won't help me, won't agree with you, preacher. I don't think the Lord would do that to her, to close her womb and allow her to suffer. I don't care about your theology this morning. You may be Independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, Presbyterian. You may be Amish. You may roll in here on a buggy this morning. I don't know. Doesn't matter what your theology says. It says the Lord closed her womb twice. It says she suffered because of it. You think God was surprised by that? What could God do with the people broken, desperate, and without relief? God uses people all through the Bible just like that. That's how it starts. God meets men and women in their desperation, and he uses desperate people to change the course of history. Are you desperate this morning? Will you seek the Lord? Will you listen to his voice? My last simple truth this morning is because of desperation, Hannah meets with God. In the end, she meets with the Lord. Her life has changed forever and ever. Listen, Hannah didn't need a list of rules, regulations. She didn't need somebody to tell her what kind of clothes to wear to church. She didn't need somebody to tell her she was messed up. She knew that. She just didn't know what to do about it. Think about that this morning. The spiritual authority of the day in Hannah's life was in the dirt. Eli was no good. His sons were no good. Eli could only read her lips, but the Lord could read her heart. Hannah didn't go to the temple to meet with him. She went to meet with God. Her posture was before the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Do you remember when you met with God? Do you remember when everything changed for you? That's what happened to Hannah. See, something happened to Hannah that day in the temple. She knew this was not your average prayer meeting. She knew something happened when she got off that altar. When she got up off that altar and she got done praying, she was changed. Now, somebody listening to the sound of my voice, you're saying, well, preacher, you know, I understand what you're saying, but Hannah was changed because Hannah got a child. God gave her a son. Hannah was changed before she got a son. Hannah was changed because she met with God. You say, can you show me that scripture? I would love to show you that scripture. Look at verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and she ate. Listen, she couldn't eat before. Her face was no longer sad. Watch out. They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Hannah is eating. Hannah has joy. Hannah is worshiping God Almighty. And it says that they went back to their house, and Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. You know what she named her son? Answered prayer. That's what Samuel means. The name Samuel means heard of the Lord, or the Lord hears me pray. She said, not only am I going to give my son back to God like I said I would, the first prophet of Israel, but I'm going to name him answered prayer. Because the Lord, listen, Warren Wiersbe says it this way. Write this down. I don't know what you paid to get in here, but it was worth it. This is what I'm telling you. Listen, Warren Wiersbe says this. Prayer gets us in the place where we can be trusted with the answer. She was right where she needed to be for God to do what he was going to do. Maybe you're that person this morning. Somehow you've convinced yourself you surprised God because you showed up. But God's got you here this morning because he wants to do something in your life. Years ago, we got an application of an older man who wanted to come to Freeway. He'd been incarcerated his whole life off and on since he was an adult. Pretty much everybody, if we'd be honest, in his family gave up on him. His dad bought him a house because he thought that's what a good parent would do, is buy his drug addict son a house. We have homes through the United States, 20 of them, for men and women to live in, called the Discipleship House. It's a one-year-long residential program where we teach men and women how to live for the Lord and follow God. And we believe discipleship is recovery. Once they get trained up and discipled and matured, that addiction gets dealt with. And 90% of the people that graduate our program don't go back to drugs or crime. And this fella applied. And he's living in the house his dad bought him. But, you know, he did what every intelligent meth addict does. He stole all the copper out of the house to scrap it. And then he had no power in the house, and he's living across the street in a camper. And his daughter calls him his baby girl. Good kid, collegiate athlete. Dad, it's me, Lindsay. I met a man. I want to get married. But I'm a daddy's girl. And I want you to walk me down the aisle, Dad. But you can't, because you're strung out on drugs. But I found a place called Freeway Ministries that could help you. Would you go get help, Dad? Broke him. Broke this 55-year-old man. Would you show that slide for me? That was him. Years and years and years of treatment centers. Years and years and years of handcuffs. Years and years and years of jails and prisons. Never worked. But that day was different. Brad Denny come to our program, got saved. Amen. Give his life to Jesus. Went through the program, rose up in leadership, went to our second stage house, was trained in our four-month internship program. Next slide. That's his daughter, Lindsay. That's her wedding. That's her daddy walking her down the aisle, praying over her. The spiritual leader of the Denny family is Brad Denny. Brad said, man, I want to do this for the rest of my life. I said, Brad, when you graduate in the program? He said, I'm never graduating the program. This is what I want to do. Come down here to help Freeway. Opened up the first house. I knew he had a calling to preach. I could tell. I never told him that. Brad texted me one day and showed me that picture on the right. He said, I think I'm going to go to jail for impersonating a reverend. Church, listen to me. When's the last time you were desperate? Those in ministry, when's the last time you were desperate for God? When's the last time you were thirsty and hungry for the Lord? I wonder if you just brought your family to this altar and you say, God, we want to be a family desperate for the Lord this morning. I wonder if you got a name. You want to come bring that name to the Lord. Say, God, I'm desperate for my son. I'm desperate for my daughter. Oh, God, if you can help Brad Denny and you can help Hannah, God, I want to call on the name of the Lord this morning. Maybe you're here. In your desperation, you've been telling everybody, I'm fine. I'm okay. How are you? But underneath all that, there's something else going on. But God has brought you to a place this morning. You made a commitment. You raised your hand. Remember? You said, I'll do whatever God tells me to do at the end of the service. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. You're not a Christian. You've never truly trusted Jesus Christ and been born again. This morning, I extend my hand to you. We got pastors here that love to meet with you. What if day one of revival, you give your life to Jesus? And you make the Lord, maybe you're church hopping in this morning. You say, you know what? I need to join the church. I need to get baptized. I realize I need to make a decision for the Lord, and this is the day I'm going to do that. Would you stand with me this morning as I invite the worship team to come? There's going to be some pastors down here to pray with you this morning. Desperation brings you in a place where nothing in this world can satisfy you. Relationships don't work. Other things don't work. You're without peace and you're without joy. But today, a relationship with Jesus Christ can change all that. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as I give a simple invitation? Every head down, every eye closed. As we hear the music begin to play. Are you here this morning? You're listening to the sound of my voice, and the Lord, in a special way, He's hit a moving target. He's put His finger on you. And this is the morning you need to make a decision to trust Christ as your Savior. You say, God is wrenching on me right now, and I need to be saved. Just slip your hand up, say, pray for me, preacher. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Say, that's me. Just pray for me. I'm not going to come get you. I'm not going to grab you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you this morning. I need to be saved, preacher. I just know it in all my heart. Today's the day I need to trust Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and your desperation has brought you to a place where you are burdened and hungry to seek the Lord like never before. And in a special way through this sermon, God has spoken to you and you know you have to make a decision of some kind for Him. Would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me. Thank you. Amen. That's me. Thank you. For those that raise their hand to be saved, there's like four or five of you in here. Pastor Paul's here and I'm going to be down front and there's some others. We'd love to pray with you. Don't go just to the altar if you need to be saved. Come down here to the pastor and just say this. If you need to be saved, just come to him and just say, today's my day. He'll know. Today's my day. Be brave this morning. Come receive Christ if you need to receive Christ. Today is my day. For everybody else, what has God spoke to you? You know, don't say you want revival and you're not willing to hit the altar and pray. Don't say you want revival if you're not going to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever He's speaking to you this morning, please, please, please meet with Him. Do business with Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning for Your grace. And oh, I know what it's like to be desperate. I don't miss the prison cell. I don't miss being hungry. I don't miss not knowing where I'm going to go, having no home. But I do miss the desperation where You were the only thing I had. Oh God, You're still the only thing I have. Father, there are Christian people here in this room. It's been a long time since they've wept before the Lord. It's been a long time since they've woke up excited to study the Word. It's been a long time since they've meditated on Scripture. But this morning You're showing them something, Lord. There are people that raise their hand. They say, we need to make a decision this morning. God is speaking to me in a special way. Father, bring revival this morning to us. We've come to meet with You. There's been prayer. There's been study. We breathe in. We breathe out. We've done what we know to do. Oh God, now we need You. Father, there are people who have raised their hand to be saved. Would these five or six that raised their hand, would they not just raise their hand this morning? Would they come so we can counsel them? So we can open up the Bible? So we can show them who Jesus is and how Jesus came to save them and give His life as a ransom for all? Father, would You please speak this morning to those individuals that need to be dealt with? Make them brave. Make them brave enough to come. If they're scared to come on their own, they just come with a friend. And we'd see You move in a mighty way, God. Help this church seek You like never before. Oh, what You could do with a desperate church. In Jesus' name, amen.